I think we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2 today, the beginning of the chapter. As we're going to talk about Jesus' relationship with his earthly mother. It seems like there's not a whole lot of information about that, but when you put it all together, there's some interesting things I think we can observe. So today, Jesus and mothers, but in particular, his own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers, for the impact they have upon our lives and the illustration they serve for some things that you do. I pray that as we look at this relationship between Jesus and his earthly mother, that we may appreciate a little bit more the sacrifices that mothers make, and maybe something else we should make note of. Lead us and guide us through this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God must have a special place in his heart for mothers. Think about it. He made man and he made woman. Both are involved in parenting children, but mothers in particular. Women have a unique relationship with the children that they bear. They're the ones that carry the child in their womb for 9 months and endure the pain of childbirth. As much as fathers like to think that they are identifying with their wives during that moment, it is the mother who's experiencing that. And when they hold the newborn baby in their arms and see that little bundle of joy, pain is all worth it. And then think about this. The eternal Son of God could have come into this world in any way. God is God, and he could have devised a variety of plans for the eternal Son of God to come into this world. But he chose to have the eternal Son come into this world through the womb of a mother. And as Jesus came into the world and grew to manhood and conducted his ministry, what was his relationship like with his mother? Well, let's start at the beginning. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 tell us how that she was great with child. Mary carried the eternal Son of God in his human form in her womb, like any other mother. We men have a hard time identifying with what that is like, but there must be something special in the relationship that develops between mother and child as she carries that child within her own body for that length of time. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 5, Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And then in verse 7, she gives birth. She brought forth her firstborn son. It doesn't say anything about midwives. Notice, she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger. Must have been a strong woman right after giving birth. You know, everything that needs to be done with a newborn baby needs to be cleaned and cared for in many different ways. Mary sacrificed her own strength to care for this newborn child. Then the shepherds come. Mary is there, of course. Verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. My wife kept a baby book for each one of our children. Whenever they said something really cute, she'd write it down. Did something amazing, she'd write it down. The normal patterns of growth, she'd make note of. And those things are now precious memories. I don't think the local bookstore had baby books back in Mary's day. And so she wrote them on her heart. And all of these things that she would observe in her son's life would become precious memories. Go over to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. The wise men come. We know it's about 2 years later, and so Jesus is now a toddler. What is it like to take care of a toddler? But remember, even as a 2-year-old, there was no sin in Jesus. He didn't pull pranks and get into trouble. He didn't dump all the sugar out of the sugar bowl or put salt in the sugar bowl or things like that. Everything he did was good. Mary, of course, is observing all of this, and then the wise men come, and there she is, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, when they were come into the house. Notice it's a house now and not a barn where a manger would be. They saw the young child, not a newborn, with Mary, his mother. She was there. She saw the wise men fall down and worship him. She saw them open their gifts and give the treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We might wonder how much the eternal Son of God, as a toddler, was aware of who he was. We know that age 12, he was fully aware of who he was. At what point was he full? Did he always know, even in the womb, who he was? It's a mystery. Something very different than any of the rest of us. And of course, we know in this chapter there were two events which caused them to travel. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 14, Joseph was warned that Herod had devices on the child. And so when he arose in verse 14, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. How many of you have ever traveled with a toddler? How was that? No? Think of all the things you have to take. You have to take clothes. I don't know what they did for diapers back in those days, or if he was already potty trained at that time. I mean, these are things you don't think about, but the mother did. The mother had to care for all of these things, make sure she had food along to feed him. And then they had to travel back, Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead," which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Jesus would not have been a fussy child. He would never have been sick. Sickness is a consequence of sin. I mean, Not that every sickness is tied to a specific sin, but the fact is, sin is the reason sickness is in the world. But he had no sin. Never would have been sick. Never fussy. So traveling with toddler Jesus would have been a little bit different. Still, there were things to care for a young child. And Mary, did all of that. Then at age 12, back over to Luke chapter 2, this time to verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And Jesus is 12 years old at this time. And when it's time to go back home, he stays behind. And Mary, of course, as a mother, becomes concerned. She has to know, fully understand who Jesus is. The angel had told Mary before she conceived that her child would be the Son of God. Elizabeth, when Mary was with child and visited her cousin Elizabeth, Mary declared that Jesus in Mary's womb was her Lord. The angel told Joseph that Jesus would be the Savior. And the angel told Joseph that Jesus would be God with us. And Joseph and Mary surely saw Jesus' character as he was growing. Notice in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that's between ages 2 and 12. A remarkable person. Still, Mary is a mother. And in verse 48, when she speaks to him, when they find him in the temple, it says, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, notice that Mary is the one who speaks to him and not Joseph. And Mary says, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Surely they knew who he was. Thus he couldn't be really lost, but it's a mother's heart who wants to know her child is safe. Mary still has that mother instinct to be concerned about her son's welfare. Jesus is both sympathetic to Mary's concerns and is beginning to break away to do his heavenly Father's will. In verse 50 here of Luke chapter 2, it says, they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And so even though he declares that he must be about his Father's business, he maintains that earthly parent-son relationship. And once again, Mary stores these things in her heart, verse 51, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. This is what mothers do. Mothers know that their children are not always going to be young. They're going to grow up and be independent adults and leave the nest and pursue their own lives. But mothers invest so much in those growing years. They want to hold on to all of those moments and keep them as precious memories. We come to John chapter 2. And Jesus is 30 years old, about. And there is this wedding they all attend. John chapter 2, the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. What did she expect him to do? I know it says here in verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This is the official beginning of his ministry, I believe. But what did he do at home that gave her the impression he could do something about the lack of wine for the wedding. Did he do some miracles at home just for the family? For some reason, she believed he was capable. Now, Jesus does say to her in verse 4, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not come." Jesus makes it clear that he isn't acting under the direction of his mother. She's not the one who will decide when he does what he does. But in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he doeth unto you, saith unto you, do it." We see here a mother who is totally confident in her son. Totally supportive of her son. And Mary followed his ministry. In verse 12, it says, "After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples." She followed him. And she would come later, Luke chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, when he was busy in the ministry. She would bring her other young children with her, seek to see him. Mary had other children to care for, but she remained keenly interested in the ministry of her son, her firstborn. No matter how mature and independent children become, mothers are always mothers. And then John chapter 19, verse 25. Jesus isn't always going to be available to Mary. In fact, very soon, that relationship is going to change dramatically. It says, verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." And verse 26, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother, the woman who carried him in her womb, the woman who wrapped his infant body in swaddling clothes, the woman who cared for him as a toddler, the woman who cared for him in travels, the woman who watched him grow and wax strong in spirit and be filled with wisdom and the grace of God be upon him. The woman who supported him in his ministry and the woman who carried all those memories still in her heart, his mother. He saw her. From whom he is about to depart, and the relationship will never be the same. And he sees her need. And he does something to fill it. He saith unto his mother, pointing to John standing by her, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." He would not leave this relationship without providing for something to fill the void. Having grown up with the experience of this woman mothering him as a mother does, he was keenly aware of her needs. It's interesting. Mothers are people who are sensitive to the needs of their children. Much more than fathers, I think. The little boy is outside playing, and the father's close by. The boy falls and scrapes his elbow, and blood starts oozing out, and the father says, "Here's your chance to be a man. Stand up and take it." And what does the boy say? I want mommy. Why? Because he knows mommy will wash it and kiss it and make it better. Mothers are sensitive to the needs of their children, and I think sometimes that makes it possible for mothers, when their children are grown, to transfer that understanding towards others and become sensitive to the needs of other people around them. God has built into mothers some instinct to be concerned about the needs of others. What Jesus understood was that mothers have needs too. There were some mothers that he met needs for in his ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse 28. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon, or at once, they tell him over. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. The mother of Simon Peter's wife. Jesus came to this woman in the moment of her need. He touched her by taking hold of her hand. He lifted her up, and as she was sitting up, the fever, the fiery fever, as the term implies, completely left her. Mothers, you spend so much time focusing on others, sacrificing your time, your energy, so many things to care for your children, to see that they can become independent adults. I want you to understand right now that Jesus knows your needs. Mark chapter 5, verse 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, everybody else out, but he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. He wants them to see a miracle. And them that were with him, and entered in with the damsel where the damsel was lying. One of the hardest things for a parent to go through is the loss of a child. My mother lost two. One at the age of 4 months, one at the age of 10 months. My brother Douglas, that died at the age of 10 months, I was 10 years old, old enough to understand how deeply it touched my mother's heart. In this case, Jesus wanted to heal the heart of this mother by restoring her daughter. In verse 41, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And then Luke chapter 7 in verse 12. Luke chapter 7. And verse 12. In In verse 11, it says, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. It was a funeral procession. I'm sure there were lots of funeral processions that Jesus saw, and he did not stop. But something happened at this one. You see, in verse 13, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he saw the boy's mother. He was touched. He had compassion on her, for he understood that mothers have needs, and she needed her son. He said, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Jesus affirmed on several occasions the importance of honoring mother and father. Would you go over to Matthew chapter 15? And verse 3. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, and he's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had figured out a way to circumvent the commandment to honor father and mother. And he says, this is what you say, he says, the Pharisees, you Pharisees, this is what you say. Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Now, it was important in the day, and you can read some of that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that when parents reached an elderly age, it was the responsibility of the children to take care of them. But some of these Pharisees did not want to give up what they possessed to care for their parents. And so what they would say is, it's a gift. I have gifted everything I have to God. I've dedicated everything I have to God, and therefore, I'm sorry, whatever you thought you would profit from me is not available. It all belongs to God. I can't give it to you. And therefore, I'm free from that obligation. And Jesus says, that's all wrong. Because the commandment, and he wrote it, is to honor father and mother. Some people may wonder these days with the way people's thoughts are convoluted, why we still have Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know it's biblical? Because we're honoring our mothers and our fathers according to the Word of God. Mothers are giving and caring people. They see the needs of their children, and many mothers sacrifice their own health and their own wealth and their own welfare to see that their children, and many times their grandchildren, can be successful in life. What we need to do is see that mothers have needs also. and care for them as much as they cared for us. Just like Jesus did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for all the sacrifices they make. You said we're to honor them. And that means we need to be sensitive to their needs and care for them. Not just say words, but like Jesus, do what we can to meet those needs. I pray that you will comfort hurting mothers' hearts today, knowing that you care for them and you can give them peace and joy. And help us to be sensitive to the needs of our mothers and be willing to be used of you, to be your instruments, to care for these ladies who have cared for us. And may they feel blessed today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.